And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light. This program comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This year, the literary world celebrates the 60th birthday of the great Hebrew poet Zalman Schneer. Today, in his honor, we present a script inspired by his poem Chavavar. The script, entitled The Dream of Jacob Meyer, was written by Alan Marcus and features Peter Capel as Jacob Meyer.
You know how many dreams are never dreamt at all, or how many are broken and never put back together again? I think there ought to be a law against it. Resolved, it is hereby declared a crime to injure or harm for any reason at all any dream or part of a dream belonging to me, you, or anybody. But no, that wouldn't work out too well, would it? Because then the sunlight itself would be guilty, and even the voice of a friend might have to be put in jail. Besides, how could you put handcuffs on a word of unkindness that was never even spoken? Well, I admit these matters are too much for me. As my wife says, I am a simple man. But I do have a dream to tell. And I suppose I better tell it quickly before someone does something to it. You never can tell how long a dream will last. Who can tell when dreaming begins? One minute I was lying in absolute darkness. Then suddenly the darkness vanished. I found myself in a long line of people before a theater marquee. We were all buying tickets.
Next, step up to the window, please.
Excuse me, miss. Could you tell me if the performance has started yet?
We never start until everyone's present, sir. Please keep the line moving there.
But I haven't paid you for my ticket.
Everything's been taken care of, Mr. Meyer. Usher, will you show Mr. Meyer to his seat?
This way, Mr. Meyer. Just follow behind me.
But you called me Meyer just now. Mr. Meyer.
Of course. Isn't that your name? What would you want me to call you?
I didn't tell you my name.
Why should you? Do I tell you how to breathe? Just follow behind me, please.
It seemed to me we walked for miles. One hall led to another, each larger than the one before. I don't have the words to describe the beauty. There were golden rafters and cornices of quicksilver. And we passed men with turbans on their heads, and men in robes, and other men in uniforms of foreign countries, all moving together in the same direction, hall after hall. Of course, it was very mysterious, but then it was only a dream, so I remembered not to be afraid. I think no one has a right to be afraid in a dream. After a long while, we came to two huge doors.
Thank you.
Who could describe it? A theater larger than any theater built in the world. Walls that stretched higher than a man could see. Seats that seemed to grow before one's very eyes. And the ceiling. I remember the ceiling was made of stars.
This is your seat, sir.
Excuse me, please, but this seat is a little too far in the front for me. My eyes are getting a little farsighted. Couldn't I sit a little farther back?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. No changes are authorized. You see, there's your name on the arm of the seat. Jacob Meyer.
He was right. There was my name on the arm of the chair. A man can't refuse a seat that has his name carved on it. So I sat down.
Hello, Meyer.
It was the voice of my good friend, Amos. But I couldn't see too well in the dark, yet it seemed to be very near me.
I thought you'd be late as usual, Meyer.
Amos, I didn't expect to find you here, too.
Why not? Doesn't a man have the right to come to the movies if he wants to?
Tell me, Amos, what's the name of the picture here?
I come to the theater only to relax, Meyer. I don't care about the names of pictures.
My friend Amos always has an answer. But he never can fool his old friend, Jacob Meyer. Then I knew he didn't know any more about it than I did.
Meyer, what are you staring at over there?
Look, two rows from the front, isn't that the governor? Huh? And three rows above on the right, there's three generals sitting together.
Stop staring, it's not polite.
And over there on the left, those costumes are from the Orient. And there's a prime minister sitting in the front.
A prime minister can come to the theater to relax, can't he? Please stop staring, Maya.
All these seats. More than a lifetime of counting. I can't even see the end. What theater is this, Amos? Who could build such a theater?
We're just here to relax. Aren't we? Why bother about such questions that can't be answered?
Amos, is it also a dream for you, too?
Look, Maya, there go the lights dimming. Now maybe we'll see something for a change.
I knew then that he was as uncertain as I. And at the same time, inside, he was just as curious. It made me feel very good. If Maya and Amos were uncertain, then perhaps so were the governor, the generals, and the prime minister. That made me feel much less alone in the world. Then it began. First, the music. There was something about the music that disturbed me. I could feel the tension in Amos. And then, as if to reassure me and himself, Amos whispered,
"Divinity Productions." Maya, did you ever hear of Divinity Productions?
Shh! It's beginning.
So it was.
Look, Mike! It's a cartoon. An animated cartoon.
That's all it was. It was ridiculous to be afraid. And here was a reassuring, friendly voice that came from the screen.
Once upon a time, in a city like all of yours, filled with men, mice, weather, and taxes, there was born between a barrel and a closet in the warehouse of a man named Olive, the newest addition to the population. And what was remarkable about this newest citizen was not that he was born of a large, normal family of black mice. That was not so unusual. But when his 11 brothers and sisters crowded in to take a look, they could hardly believe their eyes.
The little black mice actually rubbed their eyes. It was very amusing to see.
A white mouse.
Ridiculous.
Whoever heard of such a thing as a white mouse?
What are you staring at me for?
Quiet, you little monstrosity. I'm thinking.
What are you thinking about?
Be still, you calamity. I'm trying to think of a name for you, you poor red-eyed imitation of a mouse.
Why don't we call him Whitey?
Whitey, Whitey. Whitey, Whitey.
Whitey, whitey, what an awful sight.
Children, shame on you. Stop laughing right this second.
Shame, children. This is your youngest brother. What if he does have a white coat? You let him alone. Go away, all of you. Don't cry, little white one. Go to sleep. Sleep, little mouse, while others sleep. We will see what fortune your white coat brings. Sleep, little mouse, while others sleep. And dream of cheese.
She was telling him to dream within my dream. It was absurd that we should sit there. One would think that generals and prime ministers had something better to do with their time than to watch a movie cartoon. But there they sat, all eyes and ears, just like myself. And no one made a move to go. It could only happen in a dream. But I remember what happened next very clearly. All the brothers and sisters of the White Mouse held a meeting.
Brothers and sisters, we have got to decide the best way to get rid of a certain M-O-U-S-E.
I second the motion. He always gets to lick the cream first.
Disgusting color, white.
Brothers and sisters, who can suggest a plan? We need some kind of a plan to work with.
How about pushing him into the pickle barrel?
Fine. We have one volunteer to push him into the pickle barrel. Are there any other...
Wait a second. Who volunteered? Oh, no. I didn't volunteer. I'd like to, but, well, you know, I get dizzy in high places.
Who volunteered to push him into the pickle barrel?
He could be led to the place where the cat sleeps.
Good. You will lead him to the place where the cat sleeps.
No, I couldn't. Not me. My feet are full of chilblains. I'm afraid I won't be able to.
Anyone volunteer to lead him where the cat sleeps?
Perhaps he could be caught under a bag of flour.
Excellent. We appoint you as a committee of one to see...
Not me. I'm awfully sorry. I'll have to decline with regret. I'm allergic to flour. It makes me sneeze. Terrible.
Whom can we count on to arrange the flour bag so it will fall on a certain M-O-U-S-E? Isn't there anyone who volunteers? Doesn't anyone want the honor?
How about you, yourself?
Me? Well, I, as the eldest, I feel I have a duty to keep myself free so I can advise the rest. The eldest should always advise.
Shh, brothers and sisters, look who's coming toward us, speaking of a certain M-O-U-S-E.
Oh, that loathsome white coat. I'm nauseated.
Pretend we don't see him. Ignore him. Pretend we don't even know he's here.
Stare at the cellar floor. Look down, brothers and sisters. Everybody bow their heads.
Hello, brothers and sisters. It's a very nice day for eating cheese. I have come to tell you about a place I have discovered where there is a huge chunk of cheese. All a mouse has to do is crawl through a tiny tunnel, and there's the cheese. What a smell.
A stupid idiot. That's a trap he's talking about.
Oh, what's a trap?
As if we'd be foolish enough to fall for... What's that, you ask?
What's a trap?
Don't you know what a trap is?
No. Is it something to eat?
Brothers and sisters, he doesn't know what a trap is. Oh, what a terrible thing for a mouse not to know how to enjoy a trap.
We must tell our dear youngest brother. Whitey... Every mouse has a right to know how to enjoy a trap.
Oh, tell me, please, tell me.
Dear youngest brother, a trap is one of the best friends of mice. It's there the cheese is stored. All a mouse has to do is discover a trap, and he has the right to all the cheese in it.
Lucky youngest brother, you have discovered the trap.
And you have the right to eat all the cheese in it.
Oh, but there's enough for all. I'd be happy to share.
You wouldn't think of such a thing.
Oh, no, that would be selfish of us.
But we'll all go with you and watch you enjoy your trap. That's how it is decreed. Your right to eat, our right to walk.
Oh, what a treat he has in store, hasn't he, brothers and sisters?
Wonderful, Peter, wonderful.
Lead the way, youngest brother.
It was very amusing, this movie of the mice. I would tell you something strange. Although it was full of comedy and very funny, something stopped me from laughing. I could not bring myself to laugh. And all around me there was no sound of laughing, not a single sound. Somehow the destiny of the little white mouse had become important. Why should it have been important? It was only a dream and only a mouse. But when we saw him sniff the cheese...
Smells wonderful. Brothers and sisters, are you sure you wouldn't like a bite?
Oh, that wouldn't be fair. It's yours by right of discovery.
And so the little youngest brother with the white coat entered the trap.
Hey, brother! Oh, this is my new house.
Enjoy yourself, youngest brother.
Brothers and sisters, I don't think I want any cheese. Help me to get out.
You got in. You get out.
I can't.
Just be patient. Mr. Olive will come to empty the trap. Ooh. You get out. Oh.
Something strange had taken place on the screen. I thought it was my own hallucination, but Amos noticed it too.
Something peculiar about the faces.
How do you mean, peculiar?
Well, one minute they looked like mice. The next minute they looked like the generals and the prime minister. Oh, but that's crazy, Maya.
Is it, Amos?
Sure, absolutely crazy. Maya, is it my eyes or does the black mouse at the end look like me?
How could I answer him? Because the second mouse from the end looked like me.
Let's not betray our sanity. Maya, you can see it's only a story of mice in a cartoon. Even in a dream, people should be rational. After all...
After all, what? What? How did Amos know it was a dream? It was my dream, not his. How did he know? How did they all know? All the people in the theater. And the prime ministers. And the generals.
Children, I have brought you a present. A white mouse.
It was Mr. Olive.
Have you ever seen a mouse as nice as this one?
Never. Father, can he be my pet?
Of course, Rachel. But share him with your brother.
I know. We'll build him a little wooden house, and we'll put him on the dresser between our beds. Hello, little mouse. Would you like a little drink of water? Would you, little mousey-wousey? Oh, he's so cute.
And for a while, the little youngest brother with the white coat lived happily in a little mouse palace which the children built for him. The girl made him a coat of silk. The boy brought him cake crumbs dipped in milk. While in the cellar, 11 brothers and sisters gnawed at their toes with jealousy. But so great was the joy of the children that they forgot school and neglected their chores. They even forgot to say their prayers. One day their father became very angry.
No more, children. It's done all over. We'll not discuss it.
I want my mouse. Where are you taking him?
I said we'll not discuss it.
But, Father, you gave him to me.
I have decided.
But, Father...
I want no arguments about it. I expect obedience in this house. I am your father.
Yes, Father.
That is an end to the entire matter.
The mouse hasn't done anything.
And neither have you. Why, since he's come, nothing has been done. Play from morning to night. Nothing but the mouse. Very well. You and your brother choose this kind of behavior. It is my duty to punish you. The mouse is finished.
Don't kill him, Father.
No, I'm not a brute. I'll set him free outside the town. Four walls in a cage. That's no place for a white mouse. It's practically an act of mercy.
ask you, is a white mouse on a country road such a tragic thing that you should sigh over it with long faces? But there, in this theater of my dream, more men than there are numbers to count made a huge sighing sound. Jacob Meyer, I sighed with the rest. A field so wide, the tree so tall, and a mouse so minute and alone, and so afraid. The little mouse cowered under a leaf, and the sun did not warm him. But then there came a sound. The sound drew nearer. Around a bend in the road, there came a man with a flute to his mouth, a man with music. But such a one as you have never seen. His cheeks were scarred, and his hands had been terribly seared by fire. He walked unevenly, for one leg was shorter than the other. Yet he possessed the illusion of height, very great height. When he saw the mouse, he stopped.
Don't be frightened of me. I also have known pain.
He stretched out his hand, the hand that had been seared by fire.
Come, I shall not hurt you.
This is how I dreamed it. The musician stretched out his hand, and the little mouse came.
You and I, we are brothers. You are lonely upon an empty road, and I also. Come, we will go together.
Wherever they went, the people came to marvel at the musician and his mouse.
We understand the meaning and the nature of destiny, this mouse and I. Good people, give us silver and open your hands to us, and we shall tell you the future.
For miles around, the people came to see. And to distant lands, there went tidings of a soothsayer who played upon a flute and of a little white mouse that perched upon his shoulder. In the seventh month of their wandering, men in uniform came to them and escorted them into the palace of the king.
Soothsayer, his majesty is waiting for you to foretell his future.
Let his majesty open to me his hand.
My hand is open, soothsayer. What do you see?
Take the mouse in your hand.
I am the king.
Take the mouse in your hand. Or is the mouse greater than the king, because you tremble to take him up?
Do what you want, but be quick. What do you see? Well, we're waiting. What do you see?
Sire, it is written in letters larger than the distance between two stars.
Speak up.
First, return the mouse. Your Majesty, this is what is written. The captives of the mighty shall be taken away. The prey of the terrible shall be discovered.
Go on.
There's nothing more. Consider the words, Your Majesty. The captives of the mighty shall be taken away. The prey of the terrible shall be discovered. Your Majesty, this is sufficient for you to consider. I bid you good day.
What is the progression of a dream? What does it begin? And toward what end does it go? Who can explain it? A mouse? A child? A musician? A king? It was senseless. Suddenly, the 11 brothers and sisters of the white mouse reappeared, and the musician played a melody on his flute. And the white mouse, the little youngest brother, spoke again.
The evil have dug a pit for the righteous and have made it deep and have fallen into the pit they have digged.
I wanted to laugh. It was amusing. It was a burlesque. Why couldn't I? Why didn't laughter come from my lips? Why didn't Amos laugh? Why didn't the generals laugh and the prime ministers and all the people in the theater? Why was there a silence? Why didn't they applaud or speak or go out? The film was done. Yet it wasn't done. For the face of the musician had grown very large. In the silence of the theater, Amos, who sat by my side, stood up and spoke to the face of the teller of fortunes.
Sir, I have no use for your parable. All I care about is to live in peace with my family and my friends. I should like you to express your ideas on the subject, simply, so that I can know.
Amos sat down. Then the face on the screen answered.
Cast away from you all your transgressions, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. So saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live.
I knew then. He beside me was no longer Amos, my friend. I knew where we were. We were in the place of the world, among men with faces of friends. And there kindled in me a slow warmth which entered the marrow of bone and the deep places of my heart. And there came a sound of flute again. And behold, the words were Sachki, Sachki, Al HaChalomot. And this was their meaning. You may smile at all my dreams, but I still believe in you, in man, in a strong spirit, in brotherhood and peace, in the future of mankind, though it be distant. And I, Jacob Meyer, I lifted up my head, and it was I who was singing.
Today's script, The Dream of Jacob Meyer by Alan Marcus, was inspired by the poem Chav Arvar by Zalman Schneer, leading Hebrew poet, whose 60th birthday is celebrated this year. The music was composed by Morris Mamorsky and conducted by Milton Catens. Cantor Robert H. Siegel was the soloist. Peter Capel was featured as Jacob Meyer. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. Free time to present the Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. If you have any comments or inquiries about today's broadcast, please write to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.